Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
Do you feel like you've lost your way on the journey of life? You know, life's journey is meant to be a close, intimate walk with God, trusting Him, following the signs of His Word, and knowing that He is in control. Next on Daily in the Word, we study how to enjoy the journey down Highway 1 with Pastor Paul Chappell. Highway 1, that's the title of our present series, Journeying Through Life with One Savior, One Lord, One God, the Lord Jesus Christ, following His will, discovering His plan for your life day by day. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. This radio program comes to you every Monday through Friday at this station at this time. We hope you'll join us. We also hope you'll visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Maybe refer a friend to subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast through iTunes, or you can listen online at dailyintheword.org. In this series, we're taking a journey through God's Word with Pastor Paul Chappell. It's entitled Highway 1. We're discovering how to journey with God through life. And if you seem to have lost your way, if you often find yourself in a fog and needing direction, this series will help you find direction from the Word of God in the will of God. Today we're going to examine 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 through 8, and study the stewardship journey. Here's Paul Chappell.
You know, some churches don't prepare for their journey. Some Christians aren't even thinking about their stewardship journey. Some folks don't even plan for events that are coming up. God wants us to be planning. And so notice letter A, the church was reminded. The church was reminded. Now look at this in verse 3, because this is much of what this passage deals with, is reminding the Corinthians. It says, yet have I sent the brethren. Someone says, are they going to send some brethren? I have sent the brethren. Hello? We're the brethren. Is your offering ready? I don't know if exactly like that, but that's what Paul was saying. He said, I sent some brethren, verse 3, lest our boasting of you. He said, I've been bragging about you, but I wanted to make sure you remembered, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready, verse 4, lest haply if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. And so the church was reminded. They were being reminded, number one, of the special offering. Don't forget the special offering. You need to be ready. They had also been reminded of the weekly offerings, 1 Corinthians 16. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. And so these reminders were necessary. Now, if you're like me, reminders are necessary. Maybe you'll tie something on your finger to remember. Maybe you'll write something on your hand to remember. And then CNN can make fun of you when you do that. Maybe you will do something else, a Post-it sticker. I heard about a husband and wife, and Henry and Irma were their names, and Irma had some things she needed from the store, and so she told her husband, I want you to go to the store, and she said, you better write it down, you're going to forget. He said, honey, a gallon of milk and a loaf of bread, how can I forget? And so he went out of the house, and he came back after a while, and sure enough, he walked in. He had a quarter pounder and a milkshake. She said, honey, I did not tell you to get a quarter pounder and a milkshake. I told you to get a Big Mac and a Diet Coke. Sometimes you forget what you told someone not to forget. And it seems like more stress and more busy schedules, we forget. And Paul knew that maybe they forgot. And so he said, I want to remind you of that special offering for the church at Jerusalem. The church was reminded. But secondly, the church was responsible. Now, you can be reminded. You can get letters, emails, and so forth. But there comes a point when we are personally responsible. Look at verse 5. It says, "Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty, not as a matter of covetousness." Now, if you're taking notes this morning, the word bounty means offering. And in fact, in the Greek, it is the word eulogia, which speaks of giving a blessing or giving a benefit. Sometimes we give a eulogy. We are giving a blessing. We're speaking forth a blessing. In this sense, it means that as the church at Corinth gave an offering to the church at Jerusalem, they were sending a blessing. Hey, listen to me this morning. I think when we sent Brother Adam Young to Samara, Russia, and when we sent Brother Montano to Hermosillo, Mexico, and when we sent Brother Winkler to Russia, and when we sent Brother Graham to the Philippines, you know what I believe in my heart? We were sending them a blessing. We were sending a missionary who could preach the gospel, who could be a blessing to them. And when we send the buses out, we're sending a blessing out. And when we print gospel tracts, we're sending a blessing out. And so it was. They were giving up a bounty. They were making their offering ready. And so the purpose of our journey is to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And the preparation of our journey involves being reminded. What we're doing right now as we consider March 14th or our weekly giving or whatever is just being reminded of what God's word says about stewardship, so that then we can be responsible Christians. And what a privilege it is. And oh, how we thank the Lord for it. Now notice, if you would, though, not only the preparation, we move thirdly this morning to the participation in the journey. The participation in the journey. Now it's one thing to say the purpose is to facilitate ministry and to glorify Christ. And it's another thing to stand and to say we need to all get ready. But it's another thing to get on board and take the journey. It's another thing to be involved in the journey of stewardship. Now, I've been preaching and been involved in gospel ministry since 1980. And in that 30-year journey, I've been able to see different responses to the stewardship journey. I've seen folks who come to church because of various different reasons. But when it comes to getting involved in stewardship, I've seen about three basic responses. And in my years of serving the Lord and serving God's people, I've always served people equally. I don't know who's involved in stewardship, to what extent, and so forth. Just try to love everyone, whatever their phase or their growth is. But I want to tell you the three responses that I've seen over the years, and they're in the scriptures as well. First, some people refrain from giving. I have seen those that it doesn't matter what missionary, where he's going, it doesn't matter what new bus, it doesn't matter what building, it doesn't matter if it's the regular weekly tithing. It's a refraining from giving. And Ecclesiastes 5:13 says, "There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt." People who just hold it in, they just can't seem to give it out. Someone said, "In the book of the Revelation, we read of a book which no man can open. Some believe it is the checkbook." And I think that might be true with some folks when it comes to the work of the Lord. We won't take a lot of time here, but I'm going to tell you what. No one will ever give a dime to the work of the Lord until they first give their own hearts to the Lord. 2 Corinthians 8:5. "This they did as we had hoped, but not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord," you see. The reason the believers were so involved was because they'd given themselves to the Lord. The Bible says in Romans 12:1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice." Have you come to the place in your life where you say, "Lord, my life is yours. All these things are yours. Lord, help me and guide me and direct me to do what you'd have me to do." You see, stewardship is not about raising money. It's about raising Christians who know how to trust in the Lord. Proverbs 11:24 says it this way, "There is that scattereth, and yet he increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet or necessary, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered himself." So the first response I've seen is those that they just refrain from giving. They just, they never come to that place of faith in their life. The second response that I have seen are those that remit a tithe. They have come to the place in their Christian life where they recognize that the tithe is the Lord's. And they see the pattern throughout the scriptures of giving the Lord 10%. This is what I would call standard oil. I mean, this Christian has at least understood the standard. This is the standard of the Christian life and have come to the place of remitting a tithe. The Bible speaks of it in Malachi 3:10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Nehemiah 10:35, and to bring the first fruits of our ground and the first fruits of all the fruit of the trees. Randy Alcorn wrote of it in this way: in my mind, the current giving statistics among Christians clearly indicate most of us need a jump start. If you find a gateway to giving that's better than the tithe, wonderful, but if not, why not start where God started His first covenant children? James Montgomery Boyce said, it is hard to think of a normal Christian blessed with the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ doing less. In other words, the idea is simply this. If under the law in the Old Testament, they gave 10%, what should our attitude be under grace? And how much more should we be grateful for the grace of God that has been bestowed upon us? And so when there's an opportunity to give, some people, they just basically are reluctant. Some people do not participate. Some people will remit a tithe. And then thirdly, there are those Christians who rejoice in giving and offering. They have a joy of giving, and this is where the journey gets mobile. This is where ministries begin to move forward for God. This is where families are blessed, and there is this desire that says, I want to be a part of this by the grace of God. Now, notice if you would in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 7, it says, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. See that ye abound in this grace also. Let's say that together. See that ye abound in this grace. Giving is a grace, not a disgrace. God wants us to abound in the grace of giving. In fact, come back to chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, please, and look at verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. God says, I want you to give bountifully. I want you to recognize the grace of giving. And then notice also in verse 7 what it says. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now I want you to take note of that word purposeth. It means to bring forward in one's mind. And purposing, budgeting, and planning is an important part of the stewardship journey. It means I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God. I'm going to put God and His work in my plan, in my purpose for my life. Every one of you businessmen and businesswomen ought to say, the purpose of my business is to glorify God, to advance the kingdom of God. The purpose of this church is to advance the kingdom of God. And you might be planning a family budget, and your purpose is to glorify God. I remember when our two sons-in-laws-to-be came to me, and they began to kind of hint around that they wanted to marry our daughters. And I began to kind of, you know, interrogate them. And after I loaded the 357 and set it down on the table, I began discussing these things with them. And I remember saying to them, now, talk to me about your finances and your budget and what's your plan? How are you going to take care of our daughter? And it's like one fellow talking to his prospective son-in-law, and he said, now, let me ask you this. He said, how much do you have in the bank? The kid thought about it for a minute. He said, I don't know. I haven't shaken it lately. Not a good sign. I mean, if everything we have is in that piggy bank, you know. And I was trying to help them plan. I was trying to help them make a budget. And what is your purpose financially? And God says in verse number 7, I want every man to purpose in his heart, and then I want him to give. I want it to be something that's from your heart. You know, whether it's this special offering next 2 weeks from now or your weekly giving to the Lord, my prayer is that whatever we do, it's always from a heart for God. It's always the Holy Spirit working, and we're doing what God has called us to do. And when we do that, we're worshiping God and we're honoring Him in our singing, in our attending, in our Bible reading, in our giving as well. Notice Philippians 4:17, it speaks to this issue. Not because I desire a gift, Paul said. He said, I'm not asking for myself. But I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all, and I abound, and I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Now notice how he describes this offering. An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Isn't that great? The offering that the Philippian church sent to the Apostle Paul is referred to as a sweet-smelling offering in God's eyes and nostrils. That God was pleased with that worshipful act of giving to the Apostle Paul. And so the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. Well, we see this morning the purpose of a stewardship journey is to facilitate ministry here, El Salvador, around the world. It's to further the glorification of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then secondly, the preparation. He said, I want you to get ready. Thirdly, the participation. Some people really decline being a part. Some remit the tithe, and if you're not tithing, that's a good start. And others enjoy giving by grace to the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's notice not only the participation, but as we close this morning, notice the power for the journey. Now, sometimes people say, well, Pastor Chappell, you don't understand my life, my situation. And there's a lot of tough situations. And I recognize that there are many, many needs in this world today. And some of you may wonder, how could I have a part in stewardship? How could I go on this stewardship journey? I don't even understand the tithe, much less some kind of a special offering. Well, as we close, I want to remind you of how every one of us can have power for the journey. By the way, how many of you have ever been on a journey, you get out on the road, all of a sudden your car broke down? Am I the only one? Has that ever happened to you? That is a bummer. And all of a sudden you're over to the side of the road. Well, God doesn't intend to leave you stranded that way. And let me tell you two things you want to remember as you begin this journey. First, remember His amazing grace. Remember His amazing grace. Now, some of you think about saving grace, but very quickly, look at verse 8 as it pertains to giving, okay? And God is able. How many of you like that part right there? If that was the only part of the verse, that's a good part. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. God says, I'm going to give you the grace. That speaks of the desire and that speaks of the ability to be a part of every good work. God's not going to ask you to do something that He's not going to enable you to do. Zechariah 4 and verse 6, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It's not because we're good. It's not because we're employed even. It's not because we have so much. It's because the Spirit of God is working. And it says, God is able. And I thank God that I can testify to you today that He is able. I remember coming here in July of 1986. I remember that first building, walking through it, seeing the needs that it had. I remember as we took of our own savings to paint that building and get it refreshed, so that it would be clean for the work of God. I remember several days later when someone came in and graffiti painted over much of that paint and threw down many of the things we had set up for decoration. I remember also putting the sign out front, Lancaster Baptist Church. I also remember when someone threw rocks through the sign. I remember what it was like for 16 months, no salary, no medical, no dental, just praying and trusting God and asking Him to show us the way. I remember very, very clearly the first week as a man walked through our building and I said, can I help you? He said, I'm with the bank. This building's being foreclosed upon. I'm here to measure it. I said, this building? The church that I pastor? He said, that's right. I remember as a 24-year-old pastor, I didn't have staff. I didn't have administrative help. I remember trying to call the banks and the people we owed money to and clearing that out and raising money from outside sources to pay those bills off. I remember the second week when someone came by and said, here's your lawsuit. They said, you're being sued as a church because of some former tenant that wasn't happy about something. And 24 years old, 2 weeks in the ministry, trying to fend off foreclosure, trying to put food on the table, trying to take care of a lawsuit, cleaning up where the thieves had come in and stolen our sound system and graffitied the walls. I remember those things. But I also remember how God began to provide. I remember in that first few weeks, a man who came and said, I own some property out by Rosamond, and I'd like to give it to your church. He was just wanting a tax write-off, but we were able to sell that property a few months later for $12,000 to $15,000 and pay off some of the bills that we owed. I remember a family calling and saying, we had come to the hospital. Our baby's been born but did not live. And I went to the hospital. I walked in, and and I ministered to the family. I shared some scriptures about David's baby and how David had said, I cannot bring you back, but I will go to you. And I just tried to comfort the family in the hospital. I remember when the grandfather of that little baby came by a few days later and wrote a check for several thousand dollars to the church, and we were able to pay some more bills off that way. I recall preaching at a meeting in San Francisco, California, and the offering that they gave me for preaching was not enough to even cover my gas for driving there and back. But there was a lady who wrote about a week later, I heard you preach in San Francisco and my husband and I wanted to send you this love offering for you and your family. And it was that very check at that very time that put groceries on your pastor's table, and God provided. And I'm telling you something, my friend, I believe in the grace, the power, and the provision of God, and the same power, the same grace, the same provision that has brought us thus far will take us the rest of the way until Jesus comes. You look at verse number 8, it says, God is able to give you all grace so that you might have all sufficiency, so that you might have good works and be involved in all the good works that He has for you. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Listen, you say, I just don't think I can do very much. What do you think God can do? Let God's grace work in your heart. Remember His amazing grace. And then I close with this. Remember His amazing gift. You know, whenever it's time to do something for the Lord, it's good to remember what He's done for you. And look at verse 15 of chapter 9. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Let's say that together. Thanks be unto God for His... Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. God has been so good to us. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He first loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Hear me very quickly and we're done. You may be here this morning. You're not even understanding this stewardship journey. You might even think, this church believes if you give stewardship and money that you go to heaven. That's not what we believe at all. Salvation is a gift of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Here's how it works. When Jesus died on the cross and shed His blood that came from His royal brow, that blood that came from His hands, from His side, and from His feet, as it was spilled, that blood became our redemption. It was the payment for our sin. And Paul is writing about giving, and he closes this section out by just saying, thanks be to God for what He gave. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. Oh, for a thousand tongues to tell, the songwriter said. If we could take the oceans and fill them with ink, another songwriter said. And if every person on this planet was a scribe by trade and began writing about Jesus and His gift, we couldn't say enough about the gift of God, salvation for all of us. If you are saved, I challenge you in these next few weeks, remember His unspeakable gift. And if you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, it's not today about what you can give to God. It's about what He wants to give to you. He wants to give you eternal life. He wants to give to you a relationship with Jesus. But you must receive Christ as your Savior. The free gift of God is available for you even today. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that if there are those in this room who have never received the gift of God, that today they would open their heart and receive Christ as their personal Savior. I pray for every Christian today that they would consider this journey of stewardship and that they would take a step from mile marker 1 to mile marker 2 or from mile marker 40 to mile marker 50. Wherever they are, Lord, help them to advance in the journey.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word. In today's edition, Dr. Chappell has been taking us through a series entitled Highway 1, learning how to journey through life with God and for God. Friend, the beginning of Highway 1 is really that decision to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Have you made that decision? Do you know that He is in your heart and life? If not, then we would encourage you in the privacy of your own heart to pray a prayer of faith, believing, asking Jesus Christ to come into your life, to save you, to give you His gift of eternal life, and to take you to heaven. But more than that, to be your Savior today, your one and only Savior, to walk with life through, to trust in, to rely upon, and to seek a relationship with Him. If you have more questions about that, we would love to talk with you. I'll give you our toll-free number in just a moment, and we'd love to help you understand what it means to have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Before we close our program, I do want to invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. On the website, you'll find a daily link to Pastor Chappell's devotional. You can also subscribe to that devotional and receive it in your email box every day, free of charge. It will take you through the Bible in 1 year. You'll also find the Daily in the Word podcast, also available as a free subscription. You can download this program and take it with you and listen to it on your phone or iPod or computer at your convenience. Maybe there's a friend that you know that could benefit from Daily in the Word. Shoot them an email and send them a link to dailyintheword.org. On the website, be sure to take a look at Dr. Chappell's newest book, The Burden Bearer. This is a hardback book, 184 pages, and it's an allegory that helps you understand the burden-bearer relationship that Jesus Christ wants to have with you. Who is carrying your load through life? Are you trying to carry your load for Him, or are you allowing Him to carry the load and do His work through you? The burden-bearer will encourage and help you understand this relationship in a wonderful, fresh way. It's The Burden Bearer. You can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Get a hold of us. We'd love to hear from you. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.